Elektroauto News. Der Podcast rund um das Thema Elektromobilität. Mit aktuellen Entwicklungen, Diskussionen, Interviews und vielem mehr.
Servus und herzlich willkommen bei einer neuen Folge des Elektroauto-News.net Podcast. Ich bin Sebastian, wie du es sicherlich weißt. Und heute habe ich mir einen Gast eingeladen, der eine ziemlich ungewöhnliche Aufgabe hat. Er erklärt, wie ein Konzern funktioniert, den es streng genommen so gar nicht gibt. Wie hört sich das denn an? Stefan Lundin ist CCO bei Geely Holding Europe. Und er ist der Mann, der sowohl intern als auch extern erklären muss, was Geely eigentlich ist. Chinesisch, global, europäisch, vor allem wenn man auf die verschiedensten Marken blickt, die der Konzern mit sich bringt und die wir hier Schritt für Schritt kennenlernen dürfen. Im Gespräch reden wir gemeinsam über die Markenarchitektur des Konzerns, darüber, warum Volvo schwedischer ist als je zuvor, obwohl ein chinesischer Mehrheitsaktionär dahinter steht, und was Yamaha, Mitsubishi und Tata damit zu tun haben. Wir gehen direkt rein ins Gespräch mit Stefan. Anzumerken ist allerdings, es findet auf Englisch statt. Entschuldige mein Englisch mal wieder. Aber ich glaube, der Inhalt ist so spannend und interessant, dass du dir das anhören kannst und auch solltest. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Hi Stefan, nice to meet you again. We met at the Verizon event from launching their first transporters here in Germany. And we talked a little bit about Geely, the corporation, the group, the global group behind Verizon. And we want to dive a little bit deeper together to get a feeling, what's Geely? What's the Geely group? What are the different brands? And you're here to answer some questions, I hope so. But first of all, please introduce yourself, your person, what you're doing in the cosmos of Geely.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, it was very nice seeing you in Frankfurt. As you said, my name is Stefan Lundin. I'm the Chief Communications Officer for Geely Holding in Europe. I've been working in various parts of the Geely constellation for about 11 years. I've been communications head for an R&D center, worked for with the development of a big campus in Gothenburg, and for the last 6 years I've been mainly focusing on the holding things that we have in Europe. And I spend a lot of my time with ownership questions and the structure of the group, internal education, and not so much about the products. But I do spend a lot of time explaining to people internally also how Geely, or which I will come to, there is no Geely, there are several Geelys, and how that fits together.
Several Geelys. I think this is a good start to get into it. And to be directly, I would just ask one question first. Is Geely in Europe a Chinese company with European brands? Or do we see Geely here as a global group that happens to come from China? How could we sort it?
Well, it's something in between. Okay. Geely was naturally born in China and is still based in China, but because of the acquisitions and investments we have made, we are now a global company. So let's call it a global conglomerate born in China, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this makes sense for sure. And would this be also the answer which you would get if you ask some of your colleagues in Hangzhou or in Gothenburg?
I think it would be fairly similar in China. I think in Gothenburg, because the people in Europe, in our Western companies, they are so distant from the Chinese companies that we have, that they see themselves as very insular and Geely as a pure investor somewhere else in many cases. And then this is also a very sliding scale, which I will come into a little bit, where the pure Western brands like Volvo Cars and Lotus and Polestar that were born and have a long history in Europe, or even German Mercedes, where we have a 10% ownership stake, as you are aware of. For them, Geely and Geely Holding is something very distant, while for the Chinese-born brands like Lynk & Co and Zeekr, who are very tightly connected to Geely Auto Group and the Geely Auto business in China, I think they would say, well, identify more with the China identity. While the guys in China, for them, Geely is basically the traditional Geely, and all the Western brands are something else for them. So it's depending on how you turn the globe and which center you have and which focus you have.
Very interesting, but for sure, not everybody needs to, or not everybody in any company needs to know all of everything there. So there are people like you to have explained it outside and inside of the company. Correct. Or the group.
And I will say that the one thing that we continuously work on is this way of how to describe a company that is constantly changing and evolving. It's very hard to capture in one picture. Just before we started this recording, I got a new proposal from a colleague in China on how to portray the group in a sort of a sunburst organization chart instead of the traditional one. And then the discussion comes, what do we include? Companies that we have as fully subsidiaries, or companies like Mercedes or Volvo Group, where we are just minor investment, and the things that we are focused on in the automotive industry? Or should we also include universities and the things that we have in other parts of the group?
It's very diverse.
It's a very diverse thing. I'm sorry, I have my son here too. School is ending in Sweden today. I'm also based in Gothenburg. Maybe I forgot to say that. That's an important thing. Just before we started, I also looked into a little bit of other examples of traditional Asian conglomerates. You're familiar with Yamaha, that make boat motors and guitars and pianos, but you have the same with Mitsubishi, who's also making cars, but they're also making airplanes. And I found out recently that they also have a beer brewery.
Okay. That I didn't know.
Yeah. And Tata in India, you know, they have,
for sure,
27 different verticals. So I think here's the first challenging thing from a communication perspective, is that we in the West tend to have very clean, focused organizations in one industry, while in Asia, traditionally, they have a much more tradition of conglomerates and being in different sectors.
Yeah, we spoke about this before, and this will follow up perfectly to the next question, I think so. If you look at different brands from the Geely Group, we see Volvo, which reads as a Swedish brand, Polestar as a European-Chinese brand, if you have the look from Germany to Polestar. And then you have, just like you mentioned before, Seekant, Link & Co. as purely Chinese brands, which are coming to Europe. So it's red from our point of view, how we see it. These perceptions didn't emerge by accident, I think so. Did Geely actively engineer them, so we will see them, the brands, like we see it, or was it more like accident?
It's a little bit of a mix there. Volvo Cars, if we start with them, they are a pure Swedish company. And I would also put Polestar there, because they were born out of Volvo Cars. And they are based in Gothenburg. They have their headquarters there, all the management there, independent boards. Lotus is, of course, a traditional English company or British company. Seeker and Link, they were also sort of born in Gothenburg through the design studios there, and were invented there, if you say so. But they were invented or born there under the supervision or in connection with Geely Auto Group, which they belong to. And they had the factories and the top management and C-suite sits in China. So that's for us more what defines them as Chinese. Link & Co. and Seeker still have a very European soul, even compared to their sister company Geely Auto, which was always a Chinese company and has been in China for since 1997. And now when they come to Europe, they of course adapt to the European style, but they are more pure Chinese, if you want to say that. This, I always feel a little bit silly to put a nationality on things. I think like this: I get a salary from a Chinese company now. Does that make me Chinese? No, probably not. But then, if you take like MG, which is, I mean, the brand itself is an old English one, but that's really just like a Chinese person buying my name and starting using it in China. It doesn't make him Swedish, right?
That's also right. Yeah, I understand it. I think it's just like the silos which you mentioned, which we are thinking about. We need this kind of structure, which is not necessary, I think, so.
But I think that we have a lot of misconceptions around this whole thing with ownership and trying to make it into that now Volvo cars are Chinese or before they were American when Ford owned them and so forth. But that's, if you look at Volvo cars, when we acquired them in 2010, they had some 10 to 15,000 people working in Sweden. Last year, they had 27,000 people working in Sweden. So the management is there and everything. So, and the factories are there in Europe. I would venture to say that they are more Swedish now than they have ever been, even though the majority shareholder is in China.
That's good. But I think the more important question then would be, if we see all these brands, we need some label to put on it to get them out of another and not mixing them up like that. Especially if we see the brands I mentioned, Volvo, Lincoln Co., Seeker and Polestar, they have all relatively or the same technical platform which they use, and they have another design on top. If you look at the, not in the detail specific, but it seems like that. So I think it's very, how would I say, it's very tough to differentiate these brands. Therefore, there come the labels up, the Swedish brand, the Swedish Chinese brand, and so on. I think this would make it much easier. But how do you differentiate these brands in the Geely Group? Or do you even differentiate them?
Well, we I think internally it's quite simple, or is it because even though there are some shared technologies, we think that it's not enough. There needs to be increased collaboration if we want to be competitive in the world, right? And if you look at it from a, not from an automotive reporter point of view, but from a stock market or financial person, you would look at why are you not building 10 cars on the same architecture or platform? Because that would make more financial sense. But right now you have Volvo Cars, for example, their SPA architecture, which the EX60 is based on, that's unique for Volvo Cars. Their previous SPA platform they share with or license out to Polestar 3. But the Polestar 4 is based on the SEA architecture, which is a slightly different one than is based shared with the Seeker and Lincoln Co. So there are some shared technologies, but not everything. And also, as you know, in what the A in it stands for in the name of SPA and SMA and everything, it's architecture, not platform. Because platform is also an old way of developing cars, where you basically had a platform like a Corgi thing there, and you put different design top hats on. But an architecture is more a technological set, like a Lego, where you can have different components of different variations. And if you look at the Volvo EX30 and the Seeker X, which are both based on the SEA architecture, you know that they vary like this much in length, and the sizes are very different, and the components are very different, even though they share the same base architecture. So you can still have a lot of variations and differentiation and cost differences in the different brands. But what's more important than trying to map them out on a sort of a Geely holding positioning grid is that you need to also look on the different regions, where both based on customer tastes, but also due to the geopolitics, that you now need to have a certain set of products in China, where the Chinese customers are extremely tech oriented, want to have the big screens and connectivity and their ecosystem with WeChat and Alipay and these things. And they are more interested in a comfortable ride than the Europeans who wants to have the Autobahn handling. Funny enough, I met Lucas, who is the Seeker MD in Germany this Monday. And he said that he was so pleased that the Seeker that he's driving now on the Autobahn, they handle super well over 180. Which I think for other Europeans, it's not a big thing. But for Germans,
it's the gold standard in there. I think so.
Yeah.
It's very important here for the drivers, then, for sure. But
yeah. So this is it's a long answer, but it's... I think it's wrong to try to find this one map, because that one map doesn't hold water. I think it's enough if you just differentiate between Germany and Italy. The definition of premium is very different. The definition of a large size car in Italy is very different from a large size car in Sweden, where we traditionally have bigger cars because we have more open spaces and not the typical Italian winding roads there. So it's more to try to look at each market and the mix there than to try to make one Geely mapping. That's where the problems become. So you see the overlaps that doesn't really exist so much in the local.
I think
markets.
This works best, and because just like you said, you have different products which are fit better in the narrow cities than in the wider nature than there, just like you said.
Yeah, you can, maybe I shouldn't say this, but you could probably go back to Donald Trump and ask him to drive a big Chevy truck in Italian city.
It would be fun to watch, I think so.
Yes.
For sure. therefore, I think you gave us also already then the answer for the follow-up question. This will be then also the part, how do you don't cannibalize your brands inside Geely Group. If you look at the architecture and the regions where you put the cars out there, this would be then the part to don't get their mixer.
Yes. Well, it's a very common question. And to be honest, it has been a little bit of a challenge in the past because the Geely Group's brand had really focused on volume growth. Particularly with the Chinese extreme speed. So growth has been the priority. And in such a big market as China, it's easier to have, you know, what Ford said back in the day, you can have any car as long as it's black. And a little while, maybe we had a little bit of you can have any car as long as it's a Geely-owned brand, if it's a Seeker, if it's a Geely Auto or a Lincoln Code. But since that growth spurt has sort of slowed down a little bit and we are more in a consolidation phase, Li Shufu gave a speech a year and a half ago called the Taishou Declaration. Maybe you've heard of it. Yeah, where he talks about this strategic focus, strategic sustainability, and sustainable growth, where we are now also consolidating those brands that are or have historically been a little bit more loose. So, for example, previously Seeker, Lincoln Co. and Geely Auto was more or less independent from each other, but they are now merged into the Geely Auto Group, where they share more of the commonalities and because they are more closely related and they are now one company group, but still with distinct brand positioning and they are really looking at, so you see like Seeker, Lincoln Co, Geely Auto being mass market, Lincoln Co being a mid segment and Seeker being the premium in Geely Auto Group. And then you don't have so much of cannibalization with the Western brands, because they have very different both design languages and looks and price levels and traditions and all that. So we are working on distinguishing them more. Mm-hmm.
I understand. But if you look, I don't know if it's going too deep or too far outside of your typical work. But if we take a look at Lincoln Co., for example, and Volvo. In Europe, we heard before that Volvo has took over the distribution and brand management of Lincoln Co. and integrated them in their own showrooms inside of Volvo. And here it raised some eyebrows because now you're mixing up two brands together. You mentioned a Seeker before with Geely Auto and Lincoln Co. And now it's Lincoln Co. and Volvo together. How does this work? And what's, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is a very interesting point. I think it might make more sense if you're based in the Nordics and where there's a longer history of the cooperation between both Volvo Cars, Polestar and Lincoln Co., where they have been sharing showrooms quite long already. And this history of this is actually the many of the Volvo Cars dealers traditionally, because they want to have a product mix of both premium and a little bit less expensive products. Yeah. So they traditionally had another car brand in those showrooms.
Okay, Renault. So we're coming back then, as long as it's a Geely, then it's, yeah, okay, I understand.
Yeah, and then for the dealers, for them, it's a great product offering, and they have been questioning quite a lot why we did not do this before. Now, you could also argue that why don't you do this with also the Geely Auto and the Seekers? Just Lincoln Co., but that's why, because Lincoln Co. was launched in Europe already 2016 and has a more mature and established market presence and cooperation with Volvo since before, while Geely Auto and Seeker are quite new to the market and they're still building up the organization, so that it would be, well, I can say also, that the culture shocks between those organizations would not be a good thing. Which is also the reason why Li Shifu from the beginning decided that Volvo is Volvo, Geely is Geely. We don't mix or try to merge different cultures because that is rarely a good thing. We could see from the past when Ford tried to, and General Motors tried to merge Volvo Cars and Saab into their organizations. I think also Opel in General Motors had the same issue in Germany, perhaps. The culture matters.
Yeah, that's for sure. But if you take up this culture matters and where the brand is coming from, you just mentioned before, Seeker and Geely Auto. These are brands which you could have heard of, but also not. And they're coming now to Europe. And you don't want to play directly the game, oh, it's Seeker, which is also coming from Volvo or Polestar. You don't make this mention there or this binding there. How do you build up trust for such new brands here in Europe? I think many of your competition trialed here, some more successful, some not. So what's your plan to get them here on their feet and standing on their own?
It's a balance. I was just talking to the Seeker colleagues who are now doing test drives with the 7 GT. And they are, I mean, they're really proud of their European design studio with the ex-Bentley German designer is the head there, sits in Gothenburg. So they talk about this European soul. And they try to avoid piggybacking on the traditional brand values of Volvo and Geely and all that, that maybe some of the customers or journalists always try to make these connections to try to make sense of it. But we know it's not a good thing to do these connections because it might feel good in the beginning, but then all of a sudden you end up for customers, why should I buy the one or the other? So all our brands are working really hard in trying to distinguish themselves through their own merits. And when it comes to Seeker, for example, they have a very, very heavy technological edge and a very specific design language. Geely Auto comes in and they have a very playful way of acting with a more mainstream product. So they are. It's not that hard. The hardest part is everybody else from the outside just trying to put them together like this.
We need our silos, just like you said in the beginning. But what would you do, or what will you do? Branding is one perspective, but on the backside or on the inside of your group, I think you will use the synergies for sure. Your learnings from Volvo, from Polestar, from Lincoln Count will transfer these to Seeker and to GD Auto to get some steps ahead, I think so.
There are ambitions to take learnings, but I will also be candid and open and say that there are a lot of, again, cultural changes in the way they operate and the history they have, where Geely Auto comes from the Chinese market, which is one homogeneous 1.5 billion people market, and trying to apply that model and that way of operating in Europe with 40 plus different countries with different languages and different legislations, it's not so easy to do that. So that's why the entire management of Geely Holding and all the share people and boards in the different brands, they are constantly working in trying to figure out where it makes sense to find the synergies and where it doesn't make sense. Yes. I think that I'm not 100% sure we are fully applying the experiences there, because even if you come as a Chinese person to Europe, knowing and hearing things from your colleagues here in Europe, it's one thing, but you still have your own experience with you, just like Volkswagen or Mercedes go to China and try to apply the German way of working there. But I would also say that, yes, the big difference between Geely and traditional pure Chinese companies like BYD or Chery or others is that we are indeed a conglomerate and a mix between Western companies and Chinese companies. So we should, in theory, have a much, much bigger edge than the other.
We'll see that in the future, I think so. But what it's very interesting for us, besides the cars or the products or brands itself, is Geely itself as co-group has a clear sustainability target, full carbon neutrality by 2045, I think, under the 3.0 framework, which they mentioned. But at the same time, the group itself is investing in methanol hybrids, plug-in hybrids that have limited traction in Europe, to be fair. In China, it's not a case, I understand this. How do we get that together? Is the strategy really for the whole Geely group? Is it only for Geely in China? What will be outrolled to Europe?
You put the finger on it straight away. If you think of not only Europe and China, also think of Africa, think of South America, Southeast Asia. It's very clear that Europe, or put it this way, China is steaming ahead with full electromobility, right? Europe is somewhere in between, maybe call it PHEV land. And then the US is reversing into the future, going back to petrol currently. The developing countries or emerging markets in the global south, they are still very much into fossil fuels, and it will probably take a longer time for them to have something. So that's where, if we can provide them with products that are efficient and have a reduction of carbon in the engines and introduce mild hybrids and these type of things that we have, then we can probably have global carbon reduction in all the markets. But if you just look at on the European market and the Chinese market, yes, no, that will be probably not be methanol cars in Europe. But in China, it's a big thing. And if you replace diesel trucks with methanol trucks as one part of the package, that will be a huge reduction of carbon.
Okay, I understand this. Yeah, thanks for that. I think we've got a good overview about the different Geely brands. It helped me a lot to understand it much better. Thank you for your time, Stefan.
Thank you. Very nice talking to you.
Das war also das Gespräch mit Stefan von der Geely Holding Europe. Und es war sicherlich nicht die leichteste Unterhaltung, die ich hier geführt habe, abseits von der Sprache, sondern weil es eben auch extrem verwirrend sein kann, wie Geely sich selbst sieht, wie Geely von außen gesehen wird und welche Blickwinkel es darauf eben gibt. Also es gibt eben nicht dieses eine Geely, es gibt mehrere Geelys und es kommt hier auf die richtige Kommunikation an. Und das hat Stefan dann doch ganz gut rübergebracht, vor allem auch im Hinblick darauf, was man in Europa mit den verschiedenen Marken vorhat, wie man sie einsortiert, einordnet und vor allem, warum Volvo schwedischer denn je ist. Ich hoffe, du konntest auch einiges mitnehmen aus dem aktuellen Podcast. Ich freue mich, wenn du kommende Woche wieder einschaltest. Mach's gut, bis dahin. Ciao.